plate a potential nugget.
Picking on a different theme, Gopal, you know, I was talking on this podcast to a lady called Linda Grattan.
She's a professor. She's a very accomplished author, yes.
Correct. And she was a professor at London Business School when I was there. And she's written a book called 100 Year Life. And she says, given the advances in healthcare, all of us are likely to be working well into our 70s and 80s. From your vantage point, what's the advice you would give to people in their, let's say, 30s and 40s? I see a lot of people, you know, from, let's say, batchmates from IIT and IIM, who've had a very good first 15, 20 years. But as you take stock of your journey in decades, what have you learned about having a marathon of a career?
You know, I believe life is a wonderful marathon. And when you're running a marathon, I'm not a marathoner, but from what I hear from my marathon friends, when you're at the 10th kilometer, you don't worry about retiring on the 15th, unless you're my age. If you're young and fit, you. And so a marathoner keeps on running as long as he can. And I don't see a career as being any different. So, partly due to my father's influence and partly due to my own self-excavation, as it were, I realized that I will not retire. I will refire. And just the change of one alphabet, the third alphabet, from retire to refire, made a dramatic difference to the way I saw. Now, when you refire, you must know in which direction to refire, what you're going to refire with. Some people, very lovely. I have a friend of mine who went into painting at the age of 60. Somebody who went into Antim Sanskar, which is, you know, creating. He's created 14,000 places for people of different denominations to die peacefully. And so on and so forth. I decided that this is what I would do. And I refired. Now, once you've refired, it looks like an inexhaustible source of energy. Until somebody else takes that energy out of you, you can go on. So I don't see age as a constraint. At some stage, some faculty may give up, but that's not something for me to think about.
Of course. And maybe to use your geology metaphor, if I may dig for a little longer there, anything you've learned about how to think about where to, you know, the biggest question that leaders grapple with is in which direction should I fire again? I've sort of been firing in direction X. Now I've come to this point in my life context.
That's a very good question. I have just written a paper for my own edification, not for publication. And I've consulted a number of my cohorts who are about my age group, as you can imagine. And each person has spent his time looking for what to refire about.
Correct.
But at least 5-10 years before he retired. And it was a struggle. The journey itself, you know, the joy of a victory lies in the peril of the fight. So you have to go through that process. There's no prescriptive thing. But my definition of knowing when you have arrived is when you are able to undertake an activity in which time ceases to move. Like my daily routine, I get up, I do my usual things, and then by 10 o'clock I've had my bath, my puja, and I'm sitting at my table. And this is my office. And I don't move out till 1 o'clock, somebody gives me some tea or coffee. And I have my lunch. And so I'm like working, as I have done for the last 50 years, but working on something where I don't know the passage of time. Each of us is like a little Lego piece. I love to give this quotation because we want our own shape, size, and volume and dimensions. And we spend our lives looking for a hole in the sky where we will fit in. And there are 7.5 billion holes in the sky, which is waiting for one Deepak Jayaraman, one Gopalakrishnan, one Srivastava, and one Banerjee, and so on. And we have to go on trying to fix it until at some stage there's a snug fit. It just slips in. That's when you realize time doesn't matter anymore. And that's the way I think I would encourage people not to get worried when they are 40 or 45 that I don't know what to do. I haven't got any enlightenment. You won't get any enlightenment. But it's by keeping on trying to fit into different shapes and sizes and finding that doesn't work. I'm not encouraging being a Rolling Stone, by the way. But I'm merely saying we automatically try various things. And at one stage, you'll find that this fits for me very well. And that's the when you know that that's what you want.
I love the phrase refire versus retire that Gopal uses to frame the problem. I do think once we get to our midlife, which is anywhere between mid-30s and mid-60s these days, it does get harder to figure out where to refire. I like to think of this as a parallel to business strategy. And just like companies need to think about where to play and how to win in the context of their business strategy, we all need to think about where to go and how to grow as we go through our journeys. And where to go is quite parallel to where to refire or where to play. But I think four things make it complex for us to solve. Number one, it's a multidimensional problem that involves the various domains of life. You need to think about your spouse, his or her career. You need to think about the time you want to spend at home given your life context. It needs to make sense financially. It needs to be fulfilling and purposeful. And you need to find it energizing. And that's quite a few variables to solve for. Secondly, we often operate with limited data here. The reason I say is that most of the data we receive on ourselves as we go through our work life is around how to grow. All the feedback you receive at work is often about how you can get better at the job at hand or the next role in the company, and not really what's the canvas where you could flourish. Third, where to refire is often not a sharp turn in the road, but something that's organic and has to evolve over a period of time. We all grew up making career choices in a paradigm where there are a few options lined up in front of us, often concurrently, like in the case of campus placement. Even subsequently, a lot of the career moves are driven by a call from a search consultant or a company. To put it differently, it's still a sharp turn off the road. To put it in simple terms, it's a discomfort we feel when we write a statement of purpose for a college admission, either for ourselves or for our children. Having grown up in a paradigm of cracking multiple-choice, closed-ended questions, this notion of moving to an open-ended, open-time-frame problem can be quite challenging for us to wrestle with. And finally, if you are a successful executive, you're likely to be firing all cylinders and you're operating with limited residual mind space to thoughtfully solve where to go or where to refire. If solving where to refire is a topic of interest or curiosity, I could point you to a few resources of the podcast. One, the conversation with Herminia Ibarra, professor at London Business School and the author of the book Working Identity. She speaks about how we need to act our way into a new way of thinking, then think our way into a new way of acting. You might find the playlist Reinventing Yourself or Navigational Principles relevant, as several leaders speak about how they've figured out the next mountain to climb. You might also like the conversation with Professor Jennifer Petriglieri of INSEAD and the author of Couples That Work, who speaks about how we need to think about these transitions as couples and not just individually. Thank you for listening. If you find this of value, do take a moment to visit the podcast archives at playtopotential.com. You might specifically be interested in my conversation with Michael Watkins, the author of the book First 90 Days on how leaders can settle in effectively in a new organization. You might also like the theme Settling into a New Context Relevant, where we learn from leaders across different walks of life on how they navigated the first few months in a new environment, including someone like Gandhiji when he moved back to India from South Africa.